Excuse me, I'm coming, guys. I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm supposed to be up here already. Oh, wow, which way to go? Okay, man. Sorry, I know I was supposed to come out and talk to you guys this morning about this last message, but man, I got all my baggage with me, and it's just heavy, and it's loading me down. Man, what do you do when you got so much baggage and you don't know what to do with it? You just weighed down. Can I put it right here while I talk to you guys? I'm going to just drop my baggage off and see if I can talk to you guys for a little while. Wow, man, whew. Man, sometimes when you take off all your stuff, it's freeing. Man, stuff is heavy. Running through the airports and trying to move through life with all this baggage and all this stuff on me and having to come out and talk to you guys, man, that's hard. You should have seen those guys leaving. Man, I was trying to weave through them. Whew, man, I made it, though, so I'm here. Whew, thank God I made it. Whew. Man, it's hard sometimes. So you all know why I'm Pastor David Roberson, and I'm here to bring the last message in this sermon series, Got Growth. And we've heard some wonderful, wonderful messages. You know, getting to know God, that was the first one, Pastor Jay, and knowing the Bible, that was a good one. Growing in prayer, getting into community, and finally last week, getting to share the gospel of Christ. And so before I start, man, I just wanted to reiterate what we've learned. It's been so amazing. It's been enlightening spiritually, you know, steps to spiritual growth and health, you know. And so, man, so today I'm going to bring this last culmination. And I'm a little tired because the stuff is heavy, you know. So let me thank the elders and Pastor Jay for giving me this opportunity to stand before you today and just teach you on what God is saying to me about God growth. And I do have a sermon title, you know, it's Got Growth, and it's called Get Your Mind Right. Man, so I even have a question for all of us this morning as it poses through the text. What do you do when you blow it as a Christian? So we heard all these wonderful messages about spiritual growth, and we get to the last one, and it's about getting your mind right. I would think that when I was getting to know God, I would have my mind right. But sometimes we don't. Sometimes as Christians, we just blow it. So what do we do when life throws us a curveball, or we throw the curveball, and we've sinned, and we've fallen short of God's glory? What do we do? That's the question in the text this morning. I'll be preaching from Romans chapter 7, 15 through 25. And we're going to pick up a little bit in Romans chapter 8. And this whole amount of text in Romans chapter 6 through 8, Paul is writing and talking to Christians about sin, in the seriousness of sin, in the law, in licenses to sin, and if we've been given grace, should we continue to sin, or do we stop sinning? And he gets to this chapter 7 sandwiched in here. He has this spiritual tug of war going on within himself. And when I read this, I think you've all heard it. When you hear it, you may understand it, but all of us at some point in time have wrestled with our spiritual nature and our carnal nature. They're at war with one another. We want to do what's right by God, but man, I just can't do it, and I blow it. So how do we handle that? How do we move past all of our baggage and the things that hold us down into the freedom that God has called us to? You heard the songs they just sung. Beautiful. Talks about being covered by God's grace and walking in the freedom that God has given us. And so I'm going to pray, and then after I pray, no, you know what? I'm going to read the scripture first, and then I'm going to pray. I'm sorry. So if you would stand for the reading of God's word, I'm going to read Romans 15 through 19 to start us off. It should be on the screen. So it's a lot of text, but I'm not going to preach y'all, I promise. I promised Pastor Lee I wouldn't keep you for an hour because he knows I like to talk, and, you know, he's already wagged his finger at me and said, hey, don't keep us here all night and day. So this is what the word of God says in Romans 15 and 19. You may relate to this. Paul writes, For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for your word that has pointed us to Jesus Christ. And I pray now, Father, that you allow me to decrease and that you increase in the spirit as you teach us what it is to do when we blow it with you. When we've sinned and we've fallen short of your glory, God, how can we continue on the journey and still testify to your goodness and your grace through our lives? I pray, Lord, that this word falls on fertile ground and fertile hearts. And I pray as we learn and grow in grace with you today, Father, that we will be so unselfish that as we grow through our trials and struggles and our tribulations, Father God, that we will go and help someone else by sharing the gospel that you've given us. I ask all this in Jesus' name, and we say amen. You may be seated. So, how we answer this question in this series, Steps to Spiritual Health and Wellness, our spiritual health hinges on how we personally answer this question. What do I do when I blow it? What do we do? Many of us will walk around with the baggage and the weight of sin on us, but Paul writes about this struggle that he's going on, and it's a tug of war, and he gives us some clues as to what we should do. And before I even preach, I want to tell you that you and I, all of us in here, as Christians, even if we haven't accepted Christ as non-Christians, all of us share two or three things in common. One is, in Romans 3 and 23, Paul says, we have all sinned, and we have all fallen short of God's glory. We share that. That's something that we all share, because not one of us can say that we have never sinned before, even if we hadn't accepted God as our Lord and Savior. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. So that gives us common ground to stand on. I'll come back to that. While we stand on that common ground, yet what separates us as believers is how we answer the question, what do we do when we blow it? That's what separates us sometimes. And so Paul gives us some realities in this text, and he tells us what we can do to help get our minds right and keep our minds right as we look to the cross that saved us and that continues to give us hope. Amen. I'll be my own amen corner this morning. So how can we get our minds right and answer this question? So the first thing that Paul tells us in this text is that if I'm going to get my mind right and answer the question, what do I do when I blow it? I have to admit to the reality, or you have to, and this point is personal. I don't normally use you in a point, but this one is personal. You have to admit to the reality that you are a sinner. That's what Paul does in the text. Paul says, oh, what a wretched man I am. For the things I don't really want to do, I find myself doing them. I want to follow God. I want to do what God is saying. I want to be joyous in all the things that he says that I'm supposed to do. But sometimes, Pastor Jay, it's just so hard and I blow it. So there are many, many 12-step programs in this world. And all of us have counseled someone at some point in time. And the first thing that we will tell them is you have to admit that you have a problem. If the problem is going to be solved, we have to say, man, I've got an issue, and I need some help. So Paul points out in the text, he says in verse 19, for the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. He admits he has a problem. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. He admits that sin dwells in his body. Sometimes we just brush sin off to, my bad. I'm sorry, I messed up. But sin is sin, and sin is serious to God. Sin is heavy. He said, I find in the principle that evil is present in me. What a struggle the Christian faces. Because we thought when we accepted the Holy Spirit that evil left. But Paul is saying there are two natures, the flesh and the Spirit of God, warring for us. He says, the one who wants to do good, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Paul admits that he is a sinner. Many of us, we admit, I just messed up. And let me tell you why it's very important that we admit that we're sinners. Galatians 5 and 17 says it like this. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They're in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Let me see if I can break it down in everyday terms for us. We must acknowledge who we are in order for us to allow God to fix who we are. If I can acknowledge that I'm a sinner, and so I had this really cool illustration this morning about, you know, they tell you in every preacher school, you got to open up with this interesting story. And the interesting story is that over 20-something years ago, I stood at a place where I had to admit that I was a sinner and that I needed a Savior. It doesn't matter what I was doing. I was sinning against God, and I needed someone to rescue me from the death that I was facing. It doesn't matter what sin I committed. What mattered is I needed to admit that I needed someone greater than myself. And all of us may not admit that. But in order for us to be free and to get our minds right, we have to admit that, because God can fix it. But you know what else? What we have to do? We have to acknowledge to God as a sinner that sin is serious business. Sin is serious. It's not in my bad. See, Pastor Jay, and this is what I really found out reading this text when you gave it to me, because I was like, oh, Pastor, that's heavy, man. Really? You don't want to preach that? I bargained with him. He's like, no, you got this one. And I said, okay, I got it. But here's what I found out, that although I may sin, and I use my wife and my daughter. My daughter said, thank you for coming, sweetheart. She's so pretty. Look at her, boy. I love her. So as a Christian, I have to admit that I have sinned openly and hurt them. I have. Done it, messed up, got the T-shirt for it, all of that. But I had to understand that I didn't just sin against them. I sinned against God. And I hurt my relationship, our fellowship with God. And sometimes we look to the person to say, I need you to forgive me, but we don't look to God and say, God, I am sorry. What I did was wrong against you. So we have to understand that sinners, this is serious business, and we have to deal with it. And we have to be honest, and we have to be open. I'm going to encourage you in just a minute, I promise, because I always bring some encouraging news when I preach. But the truth of it is, if we're going to get healed, if we're going to be free, we have to stand there and say, you know what? I am a sinner. I did it. And sometimes you have to admit it on the spot. Hey, look, it's not in my back. I'm a sinner. I need grace. I need a whole lot of grace. That's what the song was saying earlier. We have to admit that because we all want to be free. And it's hard being free when we're always carrying around our baggage. I'm going to keep referring to it. Our baggage of sin. It's hard to be free when we have this. So we have to admit. Then we have to do something else that Paul says. I like this one, Pastor Ling. He says that we have to acknowledge the reality that Jesus has forgiven you. I know you don't have to clap a lot, but let me tell you why this is important. Let me tell you why this is important. Because when you read verses 24 and 25, you'll see. And Sister Sherry, where she at? Thank you very much. Because, see, you helped my point. Because sometimes we have to read the Bible with some animation. We have to read it like you said the other day in class, Pastor Jay. We have to read it like we're in the text. So imagine yourself in the text. Imagine being Paul at this moment when he's writing this and he's dictating to his scribe. And he's saying to him, write this. He said, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. He said, oh, man, what? Maybe y'all don't get it. Let me help you understand. Yeah, if you understood, you would be shouting. Let me tell you why you should shout. Every Christian that reads this can identify with this. If you actually read the Bible and you read it and you read that, man, that is me. There are times in my flesh, man, I am trying not to say what I want to say to you, but I am trying not to do what I know I should do. I have tried it. I know I'm not by myself. So we can identify with this, but then we don't really understand what this wretched man is because we're not in the text. Wretched man means unhappy. He means miserable, despicable, mean, angry. What a wretched man I can be because of my sin. How lost I can be. This is the place, and I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget. It is here that the mind is given over to the anxiety, the stress, the depression, the guilt, the shame that weighs us down. And in this miserableness, I don't know if that's a word or not, but I put it here, will keep believers from living the life that God intended. Oh, what a wretched man I am. But God, Sister Sherry, I told you I have one for you this morning. God is the only one who can deliver us. God is the only one that can set you free from sin. And so I had this illustration. I had this illustration about deliverance. And I worked it out. And I looked it up. And I was like, oh, that's really good, man. That'll make the point. But God arrested me and he said, I want you to have the church close your eyes for 30 seconds. Everybody. And just think. Just think of that one time. That one time that if God didn't show up, you wasn't going to make it. That one time if God didn't do it, it wasn't going to happen. That one situation you were in, if God wasn't there, you wouldn't be here today. And that's what Paul is saying. He's saying, as God delivered you then, he delivers you from sin right now. See, we are the illustration. We have the testimony that only Jesus can do it. He is the only one. He is the only one that can keep me from sinning openly and abundantly and outrageously as I would do if there was no Jesus. But we don't recognize that oftentimes. And what he says here is he says that we are free. He says that in another text. And this is why I say you should read the Bible with some animation. Because if you read it the way Paul is writing it, you get excited. Because although I'm a sinner and I'm a wretched man, I know that the blood of Jesus covers it. Yeah. It's nothing but the blood. Yeah. Jesus Christ, he came, he lived, he died, he rose so that we could have a life of freedom. And if you ever go to seminary or take a Bible class, they'll teach you that Paul is writing this really long sentence. So they don't really have chapter breaks. And so Paul continues this conversation, which really, really, really got me excited. Because I've personally have had to stand on the promises that I'm going to lay out for us to help us really get our mind right. You see, it's one thing for us to be forgiven. All of us have forgiven someone, and all of us have been forgiven by someone, right? But what we do as believers is, you ever know people that have been in bondage or in something, and they walk around as if they've never been free? And so as believers, what we do is we like to carry the weight in the baggage of our sin and our failures with us. Although Jesus Christ has forgiven us, we wear them like a badge of honor because we messed up. And we like to tell people, oh man, I'm trying to get it right. I'm just trying. And we walk around and we got all this baggage with us, all this guilt, all this shame. We just take it with us, and it's heavy. And this is why Paul was saying that he was a wretched man, and he was speaking because this is the stuff that chokes our testimony. This is the stuff, the guilt and shame of what we've done or what someone has done to us that keeps us from testifying or participating in what God has called us to do because we think we're not good enough. We think we haven't made it because we still sin and we mess up and we're trying. But, man, I got all my sins and my failures, and everywhere I go, I take them with me because I can't stop bringing them up. And that's all we do. We walk around like, oh, man, this is all I am. But God didn't intend for you and I to live with this. This is not the sum total of who we are. We're so much more than our failures and our sins. That's why he said, oh, but Jesus Christ. But he said something else. In chapter 8, he says this. He said, we have to accept the freedom that Christ provides. It's right here. 8:1-2. It's right there. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation. Wait a minute. Everybody should be shouting on that one. But that's okay. He said, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I used to love that verse because I would go, man, there's no condemnation. You can't accuse me of what I did. Because he's not accusing me any longer. But he said something else. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. I've been delivered from this. So why do we carry this? Is it cool? There are three ways that people feel condemnation, and I hope this helps someone. It should definitely help us not to judge other people when they sin against God. The first way that we feel condemnation is that the devil, the enemy, the same person that talked us into sinning, will turn around and accuse us and condemn us for being sinners. That's why we got to admit that we're sinners. So when he starts accusing, just agree. Yes, I am, but God. Yeah, I messed up, but God. Yes, I did it, but God. I don't know. Maybe I'm helping someone. I know I'm helping me. I preached to myself this morning. The enemy, the same dude that talked us into it, now is accusing us and condemning us. Then you know what we do? People condemn us. Oh, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, that was bad. Oh, man, I can't believe you did that. Oh, that, man, I hate you for doing, man, we condemn one another. We judge sin. Let that sink in. We judge people for their failures. Instead of trying to help them with their baggage to do what I'm going to do next, we talk about the baggage. And they feel it. So they stop participating. They get locked in their life, and they can't move, and they can't serve, and they can't worship, and they don't want to come to church, and they don't want to be around other Christians, and they don't want to tell anybody about Jesus Christ. It's hard enough carrying it all by myself. And then you start talking about it. And when you start talking about my sins and my failures, guess what? I start to condemn myself. You know, they might be right. You are no good. You did mess up. You can't do it. It's a hard deal. But we've got to learn that we have to help one another. That's why it's very, very important. The Message Bible states it like this. He says, with the arrival of Jesus, the faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ's being here for us now no longer have to live under a continuous, low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. When we realize two things, that sin will take us further than we're willing to go, keep us longer than we want to be kept, and cost us more than we're ever willing to pay, and understand that Jesus Christ has freed us and let us go from that sin, guess what? We can get rid of our baggage. We can operate in the promises of God, and we can stop being this wretched human being that Paul talks about, and we don't have to be miserable and despicable and angry and mad. We can actually walk in the promises that God said here in this text. This is the most freeing thing, because Paul talks about going from a wretched man to a conqueror. I encourage you to go read Romans. I implore you. Because in the span of two chapters, he talks about struggling with sin to being more than a conqueror. I don't have time to explain, so you got to come Wednesday, what more than a conqueror is. But it means that you are mighty through God. And this is the promise that we have to stand on if we want to get our minds right and keep our minds right with God. He says in 8:37 and 39, there's so much there. Man, I wish I could have handled it all for you, but we only have such a little amount of time. But he says in verse 37 of chapter 8, but in all these things, and he's talking about some other things that Christians go through. He said, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the first promise that we have to walk in as believers, trying to get our minds right and walk in the spiritual growth that we've had, is this. Realize that even as a sinner, you are more than a conqueror. You are powerful and mighty through God. More than a conqueror. But secondly, nothing that you do, nothing that I do, nothing that I say, if I have Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, can separate me from the love of God. There's two things I want to illustrate before I take my seat. The Message Bible writes it like this, and I'm going to ask Pastor Jay to come up and use him for illustration. Eugene Patterson in the Message Bible writes, "None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Every day when I, every Sunday, every Wednesday when I come to church, there's something you do for me. You embrace me like this." And if we pointed towards the cross, Jesus would put our back to the cross, and he embraces us, and he's facing the world with his back, and he's got us. And he's saying that nothing that you've done, nothing that anybody else has done, nothing that anybody else can do, can separate you. Your sin cannot separate you from the love of Jesus. And it's so much so that I have got you in an embrace, and I'm not letting you go. But you know, oftentimes, we don't want to be held. You know, a person come to hug you, and you push him back like, oh, I don't, because of my sin and my failures. But you know what else he said? He said this. This is why I shouted. When you look to the cross says that Jesus' blood covered all my sins. All of them. So when we're dealing with Jesus and God and the cross, what he's saying is that all your mess is covered. I've covered everything you've done, and I'm standing between you and that. And everything that we've done, every sin, every bit of guilt and shame that will keep us from serving, every bit of guilt and shame that will keep us from talking to someone else, guess what? I got it covered. Christians don't have to walk around with all this mess because it's been covered by the blood of Jesus. We say it. But we still go pick it up. And I want to help somebody get free today because this has really, really helped me throughout my life. Confession is good for the soul. Paul confesses that he's a sinner and that he was in need of a Savior. He acknowledged that Jesus Christ in the blood of Christ was the only one that could cover that sin. You know what else he did? He accepted the freedom. You no longer see my baggage. I don't have to walk with it. I'm free. I can speak. I can do all the things that God has called me to do. And Jesus is standing here saying, not that or any other thing can come between you and I because I'm standing here embracing you. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. You can have a seat, Pastor. But the only way you're going to move forward today, and you may not come, but I'm going to open this place up after I pray. First, I invite those that have never known Christ as their Lord and Savior because we need to know Christ as our Savior. Pastor Jay says it all the time. We have people that know about God but don't know God. But for all of us that are struggling with this, and we can't seem to wrap our minds around getting rid of this so that we can serve and we can walk in all those things, getting to know the Bible, studying, getting in fellowship with other people, and growing and sharing the gospel because of this, I invite you to come so we can pray with you. You shouldn't walk out of here today the same as you came in. You should walk out of here free, knowing that nothing, yes, you did it, I did it, but he did it too. He did it on the cross. He did it on the cross so we wouldn't have to carry this with us. This is heavy. Feel my heart. This is heavy. I talk to Christians all the time. They start the conversation out with me, man, I'm just trying to get it right. I've been struggling all week. I did this, I did this, I did this. And my next question is, well, what did God do? What did God say? What is God doing? Because he's not concerned about this, because he covered this. He wants you to get it right. But if we keep picking it up and carrying it and handing it to everybody in every conversation, it's hard to get rid of it. So I implore you, after I pray, this altar is open. I encourage you, come and free yourself from the guilt and shame, because God wants to use every member of this church to impact the world. I used to be so afraid to come up here and preach to people because of the things I did 25, 30 years ago, because somebody would find out that I was less than. But God took all of that. So why do I keep bringing it up? God healed me from that stuff. He wants to heal you too. So come. You know, sometimes it's an encouraging message, but it's heavy. And today is just that. It's heavy, but it's freeing. So I'm going to pray, and they're going to sing. And if you have guilt and shame that you're dealing with, or you've never given your life to Christ, I'll be down here, Pastor Liam, Pastor Jay, and elders, deacons, somebody will be down here. We want to pray with you. Because I want you to leave with your heart and your mind and your soul free. Because Jesus said there is no condemnation. There is no accusation. There is no one that can accuse you of what you've done. You don't have to live without guilt and shame any longer. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you that you've spoken. We thank you that you are so much greater than us, and you're so beautiful. And we thank you for the freeing ability of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. And I pray now, Father God, that you will move on our hearts in such a way that we will let go of all of our guilt and shame, and that we will be free to serve you. Because each member of this body, God, you have given a gift to. And sometimes we are so stuck in the things that we've done that we will not use our gifts to glorify you because we feel like you're ashamed of us. But God, we know it not to be true after today. There is no guilt, no shame, no condemnation in those that are in Christ Jesus. And for those that are who are not, Father God, I pray that you will touch their heart and move in such a way that they will give their life to you and come running asking, what must I do to be saved? And may we love on them and keep them, Father God, and help them grow in spiritual health as we get our minds right. But not just get our minds right, Lord, as we keep our minds right and we keep our minds focused on you and what you've done and what you continue to do. We love you, Lord. We give you all grace, honor, praise. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for freeing me. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you for freeing us this moment, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.